right. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 125. Psalms 125. Psalms 125. We were singing "There is a Fountain" a minute ago. That fourth verse. "Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die." Do you really sing the songs? Like you just kind of get up here and just kind of go through the motions of it, or do you think about what you sing every once in a while? Man, you ought to look at some of these songs. Sometimes it's good just to open up a book and just go through the songs and just read them. Don't sing them, just read them. Change your perspective on things. I think about "Love Lifted Me" a lot. We used to sing with a group that would sing "Love Lifted Me," and you've heard it all your life in church, right? "Love lifted me, love lifted me," and you sing it all like that. Kind of bouncy, kind of a theme or a structure to the music. But he'd get up there and he wouldn't do it that way. He'd sit there and he'd break it down a little bit. He'd sit there and just kind of, "I was sinking so deep in sin. I was far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply I was stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my feeble cry, and from the waters he lifted me, and now safe. And love lifted me. Love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, you see, love reached way down and lifted me. And love lifted me." Did it? You see, when you break a song down a little bit, sometimes it means a little bit more to you, right? I'm all for the old way. I like doing things a certain way. I ain't against just playing it like it is, but I ain't against getting out of the mold every once in a while. Especially when you feel it. Man, when he broke that song down and Mark Trammell started singing it, I got come unglued. And they get down to the end of it and they play in the piano and they go to the big ending, and man, you talking about shouting amen. Just to think about what God did for you. Just thinking about him dying on that cross for you when you didn't deserve it, and how love just went that far down for you. Man, get you excited. When you think about these songs we sing, man, they get them together and they do a good job. Brother Scott, he does a good job. He's been sick. Those high notes are not easy. But he's out here just belting them anyway. He did a good job. But don't just get up in the motions of just, we come to church, we sing three songs, and we preach, and we go home. It's all right to just enjoy song service. It's all right to enjoy the song service. Preaching's good, but you know, song service, you know, it gets your heart ready, right? If you let it get your heart ready, preaching will be a whole lot better. What's that statement you say all the time? Singing cover up a whole lot of bad preaching, something like that? Amen. Is it Thomas that does that? He wouldn't know, he can't do either. Amen. Every once in a while you get one, right? You ought to enjoy yourself every once in a while. That bulletin's had, You can have fun in church in it for like a couple weeks now. Have you ever looked at it? You ought to have fun in church. You ain't got to always be uptight and everything so structured and all that stuff. Sometimes you just need to enjoy yourself. Sometimes you need to enjoy the things of God. Sometimes you need to look at those songs and just let God bless your heart instead of just trying to sing every song and every note right. I sang the majority of my life. Trust me, I've messed up more times than I've got it right. I remember getting up on stage and singing Midnight Cry night after night after night after night after night, and I remember getting up there and singing at a fair one day and sang the wrong verse. I have done it all. I forgot the whole entire words to I'm not giving up one time. I'm talking about when I say I forgot them, I couldn't even make up words to put in its place. I just kind of did a thing, kind of did that and went on with life. I've been there. Trust me. Sometimes I've gotten up there and sang that Rose of Lamb and sit there and just bawl like a baby trying to sing the song. Couldn't even get the words out. Then people looking at me like, what's wrong with you? It's because it got that good with me. It's all right to let a song just kind of take you for a minute. It's all right to let a song do that to you. One day we're going to have one of them services. Somebody's going to just get God all over them in a song service. We ain't even going to preach. Just going to let Scott sing until he just can't breathe anymore. Just one right after the other. You say, I don't think we should do that. Well, it don't matter. We do it anyway. We can do what we want to, right? Amen. Psalms chapter 125. Psalms chapter 125. I'm going to preach fast if you'll listen fast. We got a revival we got to do tonight in Plantersville, Alabama. My dad's starting it tonight. We got to sing tonight for it. I didn't know about it until about a week ago. Amen. All right, I'll say if I didn't know. I didn't know about it. I didn't remember it. Amen. Let's say it that way. That sounds better. It's probably right. Psalms chapter 125, the Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you just help me, Lord, to be able to preach what you laid on my heart to preach, Lord. Put me aside, Lord. It's nothing about me, Lord. It's all about you. I pray if somebody's not saved, Lord, they'd get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. I pray that you just convict somebody's heart, Lord. Help them be able to get something out of the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. These scriptures, you probably read them before. Psalms 125 is a pretty familiar scripture. I like to look at these scriptures, especially that first one where it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. You think about a mountain and how it can't be moved, and you can go over into Colossians 2 and verse 6, and it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In verse 17, it goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. I want to think about that for a little bit, that rooted and grounded thing. And I've hit on it a few times before. When you sit there and you read Psalms 125 and you see that that mountain's unmovable, it's not going to go anywhere. You know, as a saved person, somebody that's accepted Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, you should be firm in what you believe and what you stand for, right? You should know what you believe and why you believe it. To the point that he gets over here in Colossians, he gets over here in Ephesians, and he starts telling them, hey, you've got to be rooted and you've got to be grounded. You have to know what you believe and why you believe it. Why? Because last week we talked a little bit about, hey, you're not always going to have that. Not everybody's going to stand with you. Not everybody's going to believe the way you believe. There's going to come a day when they won't endure sound doctrine. Guess what? You better know what sound doctrine is. Or when the winds come by and blow, guess what's going to happen? You'll just go wherever it says to go. Right? We've gone through bad storms this week. I told you that it came a mile from my house. A mile from my house, five people lost their lives. Out of all those people, those five lived on 68. Lightwood Community. When I tell you that I drove through there and it just killed me, it would be an understatement. It's an understatement. I sent some of you pictures and videos and you saw it go by and you could see it. I've never seen anything quite that close. They come into Verbena a lot, which is a few miles up from my house, and they track right around it a lot. That's kind of an area that they go, but I'm going to tell you right now, that one got a little close to home. We were sitting in Prattville. I was at work. My boss called, and he said, hey, there's a tornado. It's touched down at Selma, and it's coming towards Prattville. They think it's going to hit downtown. Y'all need to get all the machines shut down. I said, what are you worried about the machines for, brother? Who cares about the machines? He said, y'all need to find somewhere to get. I'm here to tell you right now, we ain't got nowhere to get in 156 West 3rd Street. You better off to go get under the bridge because there is nowhere to go, okay? It's just a metal can and it's just ready to go at any moment. We have to, you know, dig out the trenches around the building so that the water don't come up in the building with you. That's how bad it is. My boss called and told us to be ready and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm fixing to leave. I'm going somewhere. I don't want to die at work. I mean, I may have to die somewhere. Work ain't where I want to die. I want to die somewhere different. I'd rather be dying at McDonald's or something than dying at work. And then he called back and he said, man, it's going towards the new building. It's moved north. Now, we have a brand new building that we're building, okay? That's kind of a weird statement. Probably not how you're supposed to say that. But anyway, we have a brand new building. And they're building it, and it's going up, and it's about ready to move in. We got about a week or two, okay? We're going to be moving in this thing. And I'm so ready to get into it. 30,000 square feet warehouse. We are in 5,000 right now. We do a bunch of work in a little bitty space. Our warehouse will be the size of our whole entire building right now. Plus the parking lot. It's going to be nice. And it costs millions of dollars to build. This is not a cheap build. This is massive, okay? One of the biggest investments that Sign Master's ever made. He's got millions of dollars, and he's just panicking. It's going to hit the new building. And I feel bad for him, you know. That's a lot. That's a big loss. And then he called back again. He said, thank God it moved north. Bro, that's where I live, is north. I'd rather it hit the building. I live in a single-wide trailer. It ain't much, okay? Most of y'all probably wouldn't even live in it. That's fine. But it is mine, and I would not like to lose it in a tornado. I ain't got a whole lot, but what I do have, I'd like to keep it. Okay? I don't want to lose it that way. And I remember sitting there thinking, and I was calling Leslie, and of course, couldn't get a hold of her. Hey, man, y'all been there, haven't you? But I finally did get a hold of her. She was trying to get the kids. She was juggling kids. She was trying to get the kids loaded up and get them to Nana's house because they have a storm shelter. So they were getting ready to go up to Nana's house and get in the storm shelter and all that, and finally got a hold of her, made sure she was out of there and make sure she knew what was going on and all that stuff, so she got up there to a safer place. And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, man, sure looks like it's getting close to my house because you're sitting there watching it track. And I remember they saying it hit 68. 68's a mile from my house. And I saw where it came through, Posey's Crossroads and all that kind of stuff, 157. And I was sitting there looking at 330, and I was like, man, I got to figure out how I'm going to get home. Because they had 31 closed down at that intersection of 68. They had 143 closed down. They had 20 closed down. 157 was the only thing they had open. So I was sitting there just wondering how I was going to even get to the house. And then I'm sitting there also thinking, man, we're probably not going to have power. It's going to be real bad, right? And I sit there and I was trying to work my way home, and I got on 157 and I drove up on that path that it took on 157. There was a big, massive house, a beautiful house, man. He's got a lot of land there, and it's a beautiful house, and the center of it's gone. It's got two sides sticking up. There was pictures of it all on WSFA. I mean, it's just like somebody just took something and just threw it right between the middle of it and just kept two columns up on top. Unbelievable. Trees everywhere gone. And every trailer is flipped over. Every single trailer. Campers flipped over. Cars moved. Trees down on top of everything. People working everywhere trying to cut stuff loose and get power back together, trying to just make something of it, get stuff out of the road. And at the time, we hadn't even been home, so we didn't even know what we had. And I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, please just help me have my house. Please help me have my house. Drove home, finally made it through all that, through 20, and drove down 31. And I went to my house the back way, so I didn't have to go see all that 68 stuff. I didn't really know what had happened at that point in time there. Walk in the door, power comes back on. I ain't got a stick in my yard. We had some of them sweet gum balls. Walker picking those up. He thought we had damage. He'd been telling me all week, God, damage, Daddy, damage. I said, buddy, I think them would have been on the ground anyway, but whatever. And I sat there, man, I was going through there, and Leslie just started crying. I walked in the door, and she said, you know, I'm sitting here worried about not having power and not having all this. And she said, there's people over there that ain't got a thing. That puts it in perspective, don't it? Because you see, I got up that next morning to go to work, and I go to work before it gets daylight, so I couldn't really see anything. But as I come up on 68, I'm used to seeing a certain thing because I've driven that road all of my life. When you drive it, there's woods. You see a little church. You see a little trailer. You see a little house. You cross over the bridge. That's what you see. A couple of trailers right there. When I got to the point where 68 crosses, it was like everybody took the canopy and just threw it away. Every tree's gone, broken half. I look over to where the little church is, and it's still standing. Amen. Little Hispanic church. Mexican's not the right word for that. Hispanic church. And he's got a little standing there. He's got three little crosses, and they're still standing there. I thought that was pretty cool. It's still standing. It's got a little bit of damage to the awning, but that's it. They actually is having church this morning. Amen. They've been letting them use the building for different things while they're trying to get everything put back together right there. But the trailer, when I look to the right, you can't even see the trailer. Like, I was like, man, I don't even know what it is. There was a massive double wide sitting right there. And I couldn't even tell what it was. House looks like a tree's over and all this kind of stuff. It's dark. You can't see. So on the way home, I really got to see it. The double wide was completely flipped over into nearly the water, the swamp that's behind it. Just demolished. There's another trailer over there that's a single wide, and it was rolled on its top. Houses have no roofs. And you look up 68, and it's just like somebody put a bomb and just let it go off. It's awful. And there's people working everywhere trying to fix it. Just trying to get it back to normal. Up 68, my grandfather's got a couple of rental properties, and they're just smashed. is demolished. We were going yesterday doing our thing. Leslie went and saw her mama down in Atmore, and so I had babies, and we go to the grocery store. You know, it's what you're supposed to do, right? Amen. Men, go get your groceries. I go get the groceries. I was getting all the stuff together, and we drove past 68, and Walker had seen the damage because he'd gone to school Friday and all that kind of stuff. So every time we drive by it, he's looking at all the bulldozers and all the bobcats. He loves that stuff. It's all boy. I mean, he would be in there. He wanted to go so bad and sit in one of them excavators and throw stuff in the fire, he couldn't think straight. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's a lot of damage, but that's a lot of lost stuff, houses. He's like, man, Daddy, I can go fix it. He might work for you one day. But he's just looking at all the stuff. Well, he saw this big tree was laid over. Massive tree laid over. He said, Daddy, what happened to it? I said, Walker, well, the storm came by Thursday. He said, yeah. I said, well, that tree sits close to some water. I said, so the root system on that tree grows more like this instead of like this. I said, it doesn't go very deep. I said, it just kind of surface stuff. I said, and so as the wind came by, there was nothing to break the wind up, and the wind came by and it knocked the tree over. And he said, oh, it got tired of standing up. Man, he's way smarter than me. He'd be a better preacher than I am. Because I like to start crying because I was sitting there, I was already thinking about Psalms 125 and how that mountain's unmovable. And I was already thinking about Colossians and Ephesians, and I was sitting there thinking about being rooted and grounded in the faith. And I was sitting there thinking about all these things that I wanted to preach on, all these things I wanted to put together, and he comes over and he just gives me this little nugget and says, they just got tired of standing up. Is that what you do? Is that how your life is? When the wind comes by, can it just blow you over pretty easily? Because it's coming. The storm's coming. I don't know when. I don't know what day, but it's coming. And it's getting closer. And if you're not ready for it, guess what'll happen? You'll get tired of standing up. You'll just lay down. You'll be like that big old tree, just giving up. You're supposed to be like that mountain, unmovable, right? How can you be unmovable like a mountain? I figure if you got something as big as God move into you, that'd probably make you pretty sturdy, wouldn't it? You would think that that would make you just pretty solid, right? God's on my side. But the problem is a lot of times, like we talked about this morning, our mindset's wrong. We just kind of get God out of the equation until we really need Him. We've seen that a lot over the past month or so, right? There's a whole lot of people praying for all them people that have all that damage right now. I'm talking about people that don't pray are praying. I'm talking about people that don't even know anything about God, they're praying. A football player gets hurt. Guess what? Everybody's praying. ESPN's got people praying. I'll take it. Trust me, I'll take it. But isn't it amazing that any other time you can't do that? Any other time, then it's a problem. Any other time, everybody in the world will be sitting there saying, you're pushing your agenda on us. But yet they push their agenda on us all the time, right? I think it's time you just stand anyway. Be rooted and grounded. Know what you believe, why you believe it. How are you supposed to know what you believe? You have to read the Word of God. You have to pick it up every single day and read it. And read it, and read it, and study it. And you say, well, I don't know how to study it. Read it till you learn how to study it. That'd be a good place for you to start. Read it. Well, I'm not a good reader. Read it anyway. You'll learn to get better at it. You gonna use that as an excuse? Brother Bobby Utley's in the mountains of North Carolina, couldn't read at all. When he started preaching, Miss Memory had to get the Bible and open it up, and he'd say, read that scripture, she'd read it for him. Guess what? She taught him how to read with the Word of God. What's your excuse? I don't comprehend it very well. Read it more than once. Amen. I don't like to read. Read it anyway. I'm too old. It don't really matter. Read it anyway. I'm too young. No, you're not. Read it anyway. But I got schoolwork to do. Schoolwork will be there when you get done reading the Bible. Amen? You say, don't teach my kids that. No, you need to teach your kids that. You need to teach your kids that the Bible is more important than everything else. I'm all for an education. My kid goes to school. Guess what? I hope that he has a great education so he can go on, maybe go to college, be able to do something other than what I have to do, printing signs for a living. Amen? That's tough. You say amen. She knows. I don't want to print t-shirts neither. Maybe he'll get him a good education. Maybe he can be a teacher. Maybe he can do something like that. I'm not against the education. I'm against when the education becomes more important than the Word of God. Put the main thing first. My job gets in the way. Read it anyway. Take it with you to your job and read it then. You get a lunch break. Everybody does, right? Everybody gets a lunch break. Everybody gets a break. Everybody gets all this stuff. Guess what? If you can't read it then, you're more worried about feeding your face. Amen. Guess what? It don't take that long to eat. Most of you, like me, you can sit there for an hour and you eat in like 10 minutes. What you going to do with the rest of the time? Might as well read it. Why? So that you're rooted and grounded. So when the devil comes by and says, hey, can I change what you believe? Guess what? No, you can't change what I believe because I'm rooted and grounded in what I believe. I know because I've studied it, because I've read it, because I'm firm on this foundation. Because I understand what Jesus Christ did for me. Because I understand what He gave for me. You have a permanence that grounds you. You have to have that permanence that grounds you. You have to have that thing that says, hey, this is the Word of God and this is why I believe it and I stand on it and I trust it. You believed on God to save you, right? He was good enough to save you. Do you trust in Him every single day? Amen's got quieter. You believed on Him to save your soul from hell, but yet when you get over here and say, I trust in Him every single solitary day to take care of my problems and what comes my way, then all of a sudden it gets a lot less. Why? Because you're not rooted and grounded. Because you don't have that permanence. You're not like Mount Zion. You're not unmovable. You can be swayed by doctrine. Somebody gets up and preaches something that sounds good. Instead of going home and looking at it, guess what? You just take it for faith and just say, whatever, that's fine. I'll go with that. We've been doing it for years. Amen? You see, that's what I'm trying to break the mold of church. I get up and preach on all sorts of stuff. I teach on all sorts of stuff. Stuff that you might not even agree with. But guess what? I want you to look at it. If I can just make you go home and read it, I'll feel like I did my job. You don't have to agree with me. I just want you to go home and look at it. When I sit here and say I want you to be rooted and grounded in the faith, I want you to understand what you believe and why you believe it, guess what? It's not because I think it sounds good. It's because what the Word of God says. It's just what it says. I just take it for what it says. I don't try to create something else out of it. I just read it for what it says. When it says, hey, you can be like Mount Zion, guess what? I believe you can be like Mount Zion, unmovable. You can have a permanence that keeps you, that grounds you. I also see in these scriptures, when you get over to the Psalms 125 and chapter 125 and verse 2. I'm going to get it together in a minute. Chapter 125 and verse 2, it says, as the mountains around about Jerusalem, So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. You have a protection around you. You ever thought about that? You accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and God will protect you from a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I sit back and think, you know, there's some stuff you know that God protected you from, but there's a lot of things you don't know what God protected you from. I believe one day he's going to show you that. Sometimes he shows you later on in life what could have been. How many of y'all had an ugly girlfriend? Some of y'all are like, I only had one girlfriend, I ain't raising my hand. I'm just playing. Not really. God'll save you from bad stuff. There's some people that you've been around all your life and you sit back and you go, boy, I'm glad I didn't end up with that. Ain't no telling where I'd be. Sometimes you look at things and you sit there and go, man, God really kept me out of that situation because that could have been really bad. Kind of like that storm, right? Could have been real bad. I could have been preaching in blue jeans and a t-shirt this morning because that would have been all I had because that's what I wore to work. And y'all would have had to be all right with it. Because all these suits would have been scattered in Marbury somewhere. It could have been real bad. You know, I sit back and think, what if it had hit my house, and I talked about it a little bit this morning, what if it had just destroyed it? It would have been good that they was in that storm shelter. Yeah. Phones are bad and internet's bad, but I'm going to tell you right now, I was loving Josh Johnson popping up every 30 seconds when I was listening to it. Amen. I was liking that. Every time just ding, 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 ding. Why? Because it's just telling me, hey, you can sit there and track it. You can watch everything is everywhere it's going, you can see it. Not all technology is bad. Sometimes it's good. God allowed us to be able to get to a safe place and make sure the kids and my wife was taken care of, make sure I was taken care of. Are you rooted and grounded? You know what you believe? Because the storm's coming. And it might be bad. You still going to stand for it then? I've been on this for a few weeks, and I don't know how long God's going to keep me on it, but I feel like there's just something there that maybe somebody's missing. Maybe somebody's not just quite there yet. I don't know why he keeps doing it. I don't know why he does what he does. I don't know why he brings sermons to my mind the way that he does. Sometimes I feel like I just want to preach something different. You know, I've already preached that same kind of sermon, but I get over here and I'm like, you know what? It's what I'm supposed to preach. This is what I'm supposed to preach. Because I feel like somebody maybe just not getting it quite yet. You have to know what you believe, know in whom you have believed. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot be grounded. That's first, okay? Listen to me real well. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm talking about you don't remember the time that you got down on your knees and asked God to save your sorry soul from hell, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get that settled because you're going to bust hell wide open. You say, well, that sounds mean. It should sound mean, and it should scare you to death because hell's a real thing, and it's real hot. You see, hell is going to be for those who reject God. That's who it's made for. The ones who reject God. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how long you've been going to church. I don't care what kind of position you hold. I do not care about all that stuff. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will die and you will go to hell. You have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't add nothing to it. Just believe those three things. You can go to heaven. You can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you don't, you can go to hell too. And God will let you go there. You'll make that choice. You cannot be grounded if you don't know who He is. You cannot be grounded if you don't know who He is. But you also can't be grounded if you don't get in the Word of God. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe somebody here is just not in the Word of God. Maybe they can't pick it up. They don't want to study it. I sit back and you look at chapter 125, look at verse 5. At the very end of the verse it says, "But peace shall be upon Israel." Apply that to you today. You want to have some peace? Do you really want to have peace in your life? You got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, first of all. But if you really want to truly have peace, you want to be unmovable like that mountain, you better pick up the Word of God and know what you believe and be rooted and grounded in the faith. When everybody comes and tells you something different, hey, you know that you're going to stick with this Word of God because of what it says, what it's taught you, what you've learned from it. You have to believe the Word of God. You have to know what you believe. You have to understand it. Does that mean you have to know everything? No. I don't know everything. I don't know everything. But I do know that I have to keep studying the Word of God. There's things, you know, when I was a young kid growing up and going to church, and we talk about it because me and Leslie talk about it a lot. Some of the stuff I know, rightly dividing the Word of truth and dispensational, I take it for granted because that's what I grew up doing. That's all I've ever heard. King James Bible was never an issue for me because that's all I ever heard. I didn't know there was no other. You know, I didn't know any different. Dispensationally, guess what? I didn't know any different. That's what they preached all my life. I knew how to rightly divide the Word of truth. Why? Because that's what they taught us when we were kids. And Leslie sits back and tells you, you can take that for granted. But I remember as a young kid even sitting there going, you know, I don't understand all this. And the older I get, the more I understand. And the older I get, the more I understand. The older I get, the more I understand. And guess what? I hope I keep understanding more and more and more and more. I don't want to just stop where I'm at. But see, that's where we get sometimes, right? I've learned enough. Have you? Have you learned enough? No. You still need to pick it up and read it. You still need to pick it up and study it. Be rooted and grounded. Know what you believe. Be unmovable. You want to have peace in your life? Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Know He's the one who died on the cross for your sins, first of all. And then have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, a true, meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Putting God first all the time, not just some of the time, but every single solitary day, put Him first. Make Him the most important thing in your life. Miss Barb's going to come play.